From the Schmoes No Network Studios in Los Angeles, California, it's time for Jedi Alliance with your hosts, Master Kenobi Catnapsuck and the young Padawan, Maud Garrett.
Hello, Schmoeville! Thank you so much for tuning in again for another episode of Jedi Alliance, which is all about a celebration of the greatest saga ever told.
I have a feeling we're going to have fun this week, young Padawan.
This is going to be a good show. I'm super excited as well. We are going to get a little bit forcey. A bit saucy on what the Force is all about for our Forced On segment. Say Force one more time. Okay, Force. We're also going to do a Duel of the Fates. We had one of the best responses out of any of the topics so far. So we're going to talk about who won last week's, and we're going to dish a brand new one up this week too.
Absolutely. Do not forget to join the conversation on all forms of social media. On Facebook, you can find our Facebook page, the Jedi Alliance on the Schmoes No Network. We are on Twitter at Jedi Alliance SK and on Instagram as Jedi Alliance, the official Instagram feed of the show. So that's where you can find us. Also on Twitter, myself, Ken Napsok. You, of course, on Twitter as well.
Yes, at Maud Garrett.
That is you.
That's me. And you can check out some Geek Bomb things as well. Just type that in, because that's my geeky side unleashed there.
Absolutely. We had a great time Saturday night. I donated my Saturday night to talking about Star Wars with you.
I know.
Over Google Hangout, which I was new at. You
yes.
taught me well on Geek Bomb on your book club.
Yeah, we went in. We did about a 45-minute discussion on that book, and we could have talked for a lot longer than that as well, I feel. So check that out. It's youtube.com/geekbombshells to check out our very, very relentless review.
Yeah.
To put it nicely.
We like it. But we had some questions.
No, we certainly did.
Certainly did.
That's what she's raised.
This week on the show, we are pleased to have, he's a longtime friend of mine from the stand-up comedy world. He runs a blog and website called The Bitter Bistro, which also is a great podcast. It is dedicated to the life of a server in the restaurant industry, and it's a great read. Even if you, like me, have never worked, you can empathize with these people in this industry. But he's a great comic, a great host, a longtime friend of mine, Joey Rockenstein. Come up here. Absolutely.
And massive kudos to you, because, Joey, your shirt is phenomenal. That is really, really
thank
great.
You. And I'm not ashamed to say I got it at Target.
No.
Not at all.
So they have a wide variety
they
of Star Wars
shirts. T-shirts, and they wash well, which is a huge plus for me.
I always go past the Lego Star Wars range. Not so good there.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yes. I spent a lot of time in the toy aisle fighting 8-year-olds off at Jabba's palace.
Give it back, kid!
I once was in the toy aisle at a Target, and a mother and her young son were debating over what figure, and the kid was looking for a figure. And the mom's like, "That it doesn't exist." And I was eventually like, "No, Zam Wessel actually was in Attack of the Clones. She was what?" And the mom just like looked at me like, "Move away, John. Move away." Joey, you're here, man.
Finally. Yes.
Finally. You've come to talk about the Force. Now, you and I don't know each other maybe 10 years or so.
I would say.
But we've never really delved into our Star Wars love, huh?
We have not. That's actually one subject that I think has been kind of closed between you and me.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Neither do I.
I'm so excited to ask you our top 5 Star Wars questions then.
Oh,
and
boy.
Really, really see your love of Star Wars for what it is.
Yeah, I'm going to learn here too. I'm excited.
Yeah. The first question we ask everyone is, can you remember or explain to us the first time you saw it, where you were, which movie it was?
Absolutely. So, I was 3 years old, and my mom thought that she was going to take me to go see Star Wars because I was just going to fall asleep through the movie. So, she tells me all the time I was sitting on her lap, and my eyes were as wide as ever, and I stayed up for the entire thing throughout the whole movie. The original Star Wars, yeah, pretty much like that. And I remember bits and pieces, but the one scene I clearly remember was when Ben Kenobi, at that time, whips out his lifesaver and cuts off that guy's arm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, where can I get a lifesaver? I need to do that to somebody.
So, at 3.
Yes. At 3 years old. You want a lightsaber? You want to cut someone's arm off? That's a great way to start a child's life.
I mean, there was trouble in the kindergarten, so, you know, it would solve problems.
Yeah.
So out of all the movies, which one's your favorite?
Oof. You know, I would have to say I wanted it to be Sith, but I'm going with Empire.
Yeah.
You wanted Revenge of the Sith to be your favorite?
Yes. Yeah.
Mm.
I think it had, I mean, you know how I am. I always talk about things from a screenwriting element. And
sure.
I think it had all the elements that we would want in it, but then just things just
bad acting took over.
Ugh. And I don't even like, I'm so easily entertained. I don't like to say like, oh, it's bad acting. It's, you know, bad this, but it just kind of fell short a little bit. So,
but what I like the perspective there is you're saying going in, Revenge of the Sith potentially to you could have been the movie of the series.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Tying it up. And I get it because what we knew it was coming with the fight, the long awaited fight between Obi-Wan and Vader or Anakin. Well, at the time, Vader.
It was Anakin becoming Vader though.
Right. Yes.
That shift should have been monumental.
Huge.
Yeah.
And it kind of fell flat.
Yeah, he was just like an angry teenager. Mom, I don't want you to drop me off at school anymore because it's embarrassing.
I killed all the younglings.
Yeah.
But you end up settling on Empire, which is a pretty solid favorite around the board, except for this one who likes Jedi.
Yes, somebody has to.
I have no qualms with that. I'm proud.
I know you don't. That's why you're here.
Yeah.
You are proud of your love of the Ewoks.
Yes. Yes, you are.
I mean, I love Empire because they got, you know, the fights in the snow. And my neighbor at that time, Jason Watanabe, had all the Star Wars toys because he was the rich kid. So I'd go over there. He had like the AT-ATs and the speeders, everything.
I think we all had a Jason Watanabe in our lives, in our neighborhoods. What is your favorite character?
Okay, so again, thought long and hard about this. And after just finishing up the Clone Wars, I kind of shifted gears a little bit and got into some of the characters there. And I really like Pre Vizsla.
Oh.
Pre Vizsla? He was the leader of Death Watch.
Okay. Wow, you even cut me off guard.
Boom.
Thank
nice. You. Drink at home. Drink at home.
The leader. Well, Death Watch is a great subplot in the Clone Wars. The Mandalorian crew. But I wouldn't have pulled that name out of my hat.
I mean, the thing
what
I love
he
about
look
him,
like?
He's a bald-headed guy. He kind of almost looks like a clone, but he's not a clone. He's from Mandalore. And he is a leader of like the Death Watch, which is like a bunch of like Boba Fett-looking guys. And I don't want to offend any Boba Fett fans, so just I want to put that out there because I know how they can be. But one of the things that makes him the leader of the Death Watch is that years ago in the Old Republic, somebody from his crew went into the Jedi Temple and stole what is called the Darksaber. And this thing is, it's a black lightsaber.
That's what Mara Jade has, right?
Has she got one of possibly, those? But it's if like you've two. Played Force Unleashed, you can get that at some point too. It's really cool, yeah.
It is awesome.
Yeah.
And so this guy's wielding it, or he's not even a Jedi, but he's like fighting off Jedi with this thing. And
it's like,
it was
it's
awesome.
Like anti-color, like absorbs all the light.
Yeah, it absorbs
the
light.
Blade, it's cool.
I want one of those.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a great choice and a great, you caught me off guard with that, man. I got to go back and catch up on some Clone Wars. I've seen them all, but I wouldn't pull that name out, man. Good
I've
stuff.
I've still got to do that one. So out of all the force powers available to you, depending on what side you want to be on, which force power would you want to have?
Okay. Well, aside from being able to dissolve traffic at some point, I would have to say the mind trick.
Jedi mind trick.
Yeah,
that's
but I don't even want to call it the Jedi mind trick. I just want it to be the mind trick because it should be available to both sides.
Yeah,
the power
of persuasion.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know that was one of the powers in Heroes. When Heroes was out there, the chick had it, and I was like, that is so cool. And then I realized it was just a Jedi mind trick.
Yeah. That is her favorite force power. And recently, some of your life events, I think you've used some Jedi mind tricks to your advantage.
I'm
starting to have a lot of faith in you as a Jedi.
I think I'm meeting way too many weak-minded people for it to be working on, though. Maybe that's it.
Good choice there, Joey. Star Wars is full of quotes. What is your favorite quote that you like to work into normal life?
Wow, so many. I would have to be just that one serious quote. That's
how often do you slide that into conversation?
You know, usually when I'm trying to win an argument with my wife. So
that's the drops mic kind of.
That's the Chris Rock.
We are going to Home Depot for shelving. That's awesome. I thought you were going to drop some like Death Watch motto on us. So, well, as the Death Watch said in their charter. Would you, my dear friend?
Yes.
And I know you're a good dude. This is a good guy. But would you ever go to the dark side of the vault?
Oh, wow. Well, since you were learning so much about each other continuously, I made that turn a long time ago.
What? You've always been bad? Well, I mean, bad's, you know.
He's pulling the wool over my eyes. This is one of the nicest, purest souls I've ever met in the stand-up comedy world.
Why are you so intrigued by the dark side, or consumed by the dark side, I should say?
Just after, like, watching the Clone Wars and everything that's been going on with that. And
this thing changed your life, the Clone Wars.
I'm telling you, it was a lot of drama going on.
Yeah.
Okay, but I'm just, everybody's a Sith. The Jedis are kind of full of it. Mm. They were all turning at some point. They were all confused and clouded. So,
well, it's always like, it's tapping into a stronger part of the Force. Yeah. So is that necessarily bad, or is it you just have to sacrifice your morals to be able to use these new powers?
It's a good question. These are like deep questions.
You're being persuaded by whoever's the king at the time telling you what religion right. you got to do.
Yeah.
So
kind of like that. But once you start down that dark path, Joey, forever will it dominate your destiny.
It's worked for some people.
Instead, I learned a lot about my longtime friend Joey here today.
Thank you.
Glad we could have this moment and
Me
share
too.
For a national audience
Me too.
Here.
Yeah.
In the Jedi Alliance. So, with that done, with this established as a Star Wars fan who's familiar with the Death's Watch, we're going to move on to Renewed Hope, which is our weekly look at this week in Star Wars news with Queen Amandala, as she will now address her people.
Thanks, Master Kenobi. Really quickly, though, Joey, I want to know... Whilst talking like this, have you been watching Star Wars Rebels?
I did catch the first episode.
Do you think it's better than Clone Wars?
Mm.
I will not let my people suffer.
People suffer.
I would say it's probably going to get to the good point, because even Clone Wars didn't start out from that dark point that I really
slow
wanted it to.
Start.
Right. Another okay.
But I mean, what doesn't have a slow start nowadays? I mean.
I'm True. Not answering that. Right. Cool. Let's move on to back to the news. Number one. Marvel has unveiled the cover to the first issue of the upcoming Star Wars comic book line. Check this out. Entertainment Weekly has released the official first issue of Marvel's Star Wars comic book series. So the cover is drawn by Living Comic Book artist legend Alex Ross. The series is going to come out in 2015. Star Wars Universe returns to Marvel. The company is launching an ongoing series in January, so this is one of many. Actually, the last time that they did this, the series lasted 10 years, yeah. So through the 70s and the 80s. So that was pretty cool, wow. And obviously it stopped, so hopefully we'll get a decade-long run again with Marvel taking over this one. The comic book series is going to be written by Jason Aaron, drawn by John Cassaday. The series is going to focus on the original trilogy gang of Han, Luke, and Leia. Now, to mark the occasion, Marvel asked the photorealist comic illustrator Alex Ross to design an homage to Howard Chaykin's iconic original cover of the very first Star Wars that was issued back in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And so, if you kind of know what that one looks like, this is a modernized version of yeah. it, which is pretty cool.
It looks spectacular. We're looking at it right now here. Joey and I and our mouths are watering. This looks great. Like I said before, I'm sad to see the Dark Horse series kind of go away, the one that started a couple years ago. But if this is what I'm going to get in its place, I'm excited.
I'm just glad that it's original trilogy again.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we're seeing so much Rebels, and there's a brand new bunch of ragtags here. And I think that's what I really struggled with reading A New Dawn. They were just brand new characters. We heard glimpses of the Emperor, you know, there was just yeah. a little tiny tap into these sort of things. So it's like those guys over there. But this is what I love. This is what I want to keep indulging in. I want to know their adventures. Three
Absolutely.
Movies wasn't enough. So that's really
right.
cool.
Absolutely. You excited? Are you reading comic books, Joey?
I have not read any in a while, but that right. doesn't mean I'm not a fan of them.
I'll take you to my shop. And, let's go.
Well, I kind of get my comic book feel from just listening to you.
Oh,
so
perfect. Okay.
I kind of feel
I'll
like,
tell
I,
you how
I feel like I'm in the know.
Super cute, guys. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Story great. Number two. Devin Faraci has tweeted a few more spoilers about Episode 7, including which character the movie will be focusing on. So we obviously know we've got new characters here. We've got Daisy Ridley. We've got John Boyega. And apparently that's kind of about those two. And if you don't want to know, mute the video and your iTunes now. Han Solo is what this is all about.
Yeah.
It's going to be about Han. This is his story, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
So
oh,
even
I'm sorry.
Though,
I muted my headphones. I'm just
oh,
nodding.
You're
to
just...
You. No.
Okay.
Yeah. What do you think?
Oh, that's exciting. Especially knowing that Harrison Ford doesn't even like Han Solo, really.
Right.
So it's like, this must be the biggest, like, carrot dangle. It's like, I know you don't want to do it, so why don't you come back and we'll make it all about you?
Yeah.
I think that's pretty cool. And they're kind of using evidence in the fact that the whole production shut down when he was injured. Like, everything stopped for a month. And it's like, well, how come everything's had to be shut down because he's injured? No, because it's all about
right.
him. He's also talked about this concept art that has been leaked. Apparently no major characters in Ep 7 will be cyborgs. You know how we kind of saw that thing where he was... Yeah, that was supposed to be the villain. Apparently that's not the case at all. We will not be seeing a major cyborg villain. But it's interesting that in A New Dawn, Vidian is very much this cyborg villain.
Right.
So maybe it's just going to stay in the books and not in the movies. Devin has tweeted a few things. We'll pop them up on the screen so you can have a read. The cool and exciting thing is that they're 3 weeks away from filming, finishing.
Right.
Nice. 3 weeks and then it is all done. Everything is done.
The story is finished and essentially coming up.
Yeah. Do you want to read that tweet?
Yeah, this is from our friend Devin Faraci over at Badass Digest. He says, just got a crazy load of Star Wars info. If it's true, you're going to be blown away by who is playing the Dark Knight in that leaked art.
He says it's not going to be Daniel Craig, that Daniel was in Pinewood Studios in the UK, but that was to film Bond.
Right.
Nothing to do with Star Wars. So there's like that little rumor that was floating around. He also says, yes, he can share that he's hearing that this is Han Solo's movie. Ridley and Boyega are leads, but Han steals it, which is really, really cool.
Yeah.
And story number three. If you have been following our Facebook page, you would have seen this video because I posted it up. But Warwick Davis uploads a hilarious video to announce that he will be in episode 7. Did you get to watch this video?
No, okay. I did, yeah.
So you know Warwick Davis, he was in the original trilogies. He played the Ewok.
Yes.
And then he was back in Phantom Menace in the pod racer.
Yeah,
in the pod racer scene. So he kind of had a little appearance there. He's obviously super, super psyched about Star Wars. And it was he made this little video where he's on the phone pretending to have a really important conversation, and it's his mum.
Yeah.
But it's like, I'm expecting a very important phone call, mother. You know, I'm very busy, and Star Wars, they want me, obviously. Anyway, it's like, kind of fast forward, he's grown a huge beard. Put on a
comical
fake beard.
Comical beard.
Yeah, and it looks like he's kind of gotten really fat, and there's just like food wrappers all around him. And then he gets a phone call, and it's J.J. Abrams saying, "When you know, are you available?" And he's like, "Oh, I'm asked to look at my calendar. Let's see.
Right.
Yeah. What do you know? I am free." And then he's like, "Yes!" So I love seeing how excited Warwick Davis is about this. He's so awesome. I loved him in Willow. I'm like a huge fan.
Peck.
And Peck. Peck. So I'm really, really happy for him, basically.
Absolutely. I'm happy to have, just even if it's a little cameo, a little shot, to have someone back from the crew. What about you?
Well, who isn't going to be excited about getting that phone call from J.J. Abrams?
Right.
Well,
apparently,
really,
except Dennis Lawson, Wedge Antilles was the only one to be like, "No, thank you, I'm busy."
Really?
Yeah, he turned it down. No Wedge in episode.
Any part in Star Wars, I think, would be substantial. I mean, I could play the bartender in that bar in Tatooine. I mean, I'm like, down for that.
Like,
please.
Like his...
They don't serve your kind.
Yeah.
Second generation nephew. Like, I remember you.
I heard about
no
you.
No more mess.
Yeah. Here's your coin back.
Yeah. My uncle said, here, take it back.
Yeah. Sweet, oh, hold on. You can remute, by the way. We're all done.
Spoilers.
There you go.
That's
so basically,
great.
Long story short, make sure you're following our Facebook page. Give that a like, because we do deliver news throughout the week on
that's
that.
That's great. I do have one more question about the Warwick story, though.
Yes.
Star pause!
Oh, you little clever thing. Okay.
All right. Get your cards out. Here we go. Now, Joey, I know you explained a little bit about what we got here.
The tragic news is that you're on 46 points and I'm on 38. So
The
likeliness of this...
You got 6 questions. All right, so you've pulled. We got 2 minutes on a fake clock.
Yes.
Joey, you can help. You guys can communicate with eyes and blinks and nods, but you are on her team this go-around here.
Please help help me, Joey. You're my only hope.
So I can just blurt out the answer?
You could blurt out, but I mean, you know, if you know, if you end up messing up for her after the show, she might take you out back and even things up.
All right.
All right, here we go.
Let's do this.
2 minutes on the clock. Right at now. Who gave Luke the angry retort, "It is you who are mistaken about a great many things"?
Joey. So Luke's mistaken about something.
Mm-hmm.
This is either Uncle Owen saying it, but I don't think so. You are mistaken about a great many things. I'm going to say Vader or the Emperor. Come on.
I need a tie-breaking answer.
Quick. That's 25 seconds already.
I'll probably go with Vader on that one.
Okay. Yeah. Let's go Vader.
It is you who are mistaken.
No!
About a great many things. It's the Emperor.
Oh, my God.
What survival gear hangs on hooks behind the Millennium Falcon's holoboard game couch?
Is it a mask? The masks that they use when they get out to fight off the Minox? Gosh, this is hard.
Yeah, this is ridiculous.
I'm not having much sleep.
Is that your answer?
Yeah.
That's correct.
What?
And breathing masks. 1 minute left. Who assumed Obi-Wan and Luke were mixed up in local trouble when he first met them?
Who believed that?
Yeah.
That Obi-Wan and Luke?
Yeah.
Who thought that?
When mixed up in, quote, local trouble when he first met them.
Han?
I would say that.
Yeah. Yep.
That's correct. Han Solo.
Good. That's two.
What ships enter in order to What must ships enter in order to travel faster than light?
Hyperspeed. What? Hyperspace.
Hyperspace. How many bites did it take for the Rancor to finish off one of Jabba's guards who we identified as Snort in an earlier episode?
Two. Three. I'm telling you, it's two.
It's gotta be two. Two.
Oh. I'm going to keep this going just to see it. But the correct answer is actually three.
Damn it, I was like,
all right, you got three out of five here. One more question. What character beheld a wow, I can't read today. What character beheld a disturbing vision of the future?
What character beheld a disturbing vision of the future?
Yep.
Yoda. Yoda or R2? Because R2 can project holograms, but who?
You've passed your time, but I'm going to let it go because I stumbled over a few questions.
Right. I'm still stumbling.
Yeah. I would say Yoda's the only one who's beholding stuff.
Didn't Yoda do that little thing, the test in the cave on... Yoda is my answer. It's wrong.
That's incorrect. It would be his young Padawan, Luke Skywalker, at the time. Luke had a vision.
He had the vision.
That's why he left Dagobah.
I thought Yoda gave him the projector.
Yeah.
Okay.
Plus three. You got three out of six. 50% is going to put you up to 41. I have 46 so far. So maybe.
Damn you, Rancor.
Maybe I can take. But I enjoyed your impersonation of the Rancor chewing up our good buddy Snort, who we paid tribute to early on.
Goodness
so
gracious.
That is part one of Star Paws. Now it's in your hands, young Padawan. But now we're going to go into Duel of the Fates, which is our weekly debate segment. But first, last week we had a pretty spirited debate.
Yeah.
We were talking about books with Darth Harloff on the show, so we put out to you, what Timothy Zahn expanded universe character would you keep, Mara Jade or Grand Admiral Thrawn? We had a lot of spirited answers.
This was cool. The overall impressions was that we were actually really, really cruel to put this out there, and that having to choose between these two was just not fair, simply put.
Good.
Those that were fans of the expanded universe were really enthralled by both of these characters overall, though they felt that Mara Jade's story just had so much more, being Luke's wife and the Emperor's hand and that whole storyline. And she was a really integral part, you know, of like the core clan, the groups there. And that was just too juicy to pass up. So overall votes was Mara Jade with 42 and Thrawn had 31. So still pretty good.
Joey, you? Are you familiar with these two characters
I
enough to
vote? I abstained from that vote.
You abstained from the vote.
I did.
I went with Thrawn.
I said Mara Jade.
Mara Jade.
Maybe losing the trivia, but I'm winning the love.
People follow you into battle, I'll tell you that much. People had stuff to say, of course. Nick Widener said, hands down, Thrawn.
No, he didn't. He said, hand down, because he's a legend. Because every time I was like, you know, anything with like, hands down, wait. This is Star Wars we're talking about. Most of the people don't have their two hands. So it's now hand down.
Okay. I'll take that, Nick. Hand down. I thought that was a typo.
Well, if it is a typo, then he's getting cool points that he didn't earn.
Ryan said, you can't choose one. Love both of them. But if my life were on the line, I'd have to say Thrawn. He's just fantastically interesting villain. He is a fantastically interesting villain. I agree with that. Steve Lyon said Thrawn is one smooth admiral and should be made into canon. He's a tactical genius, and for a world dominated by lightsabers that I do love, it was refreshing to see a powerful character made without the use of the Force.
Those on Team Mara, though, Austin Alcorn said Mara Jade. She pulled Luke back from the dark side, and she has a badass name to be said by the Emperor.
Mara Jade Rise.
That was was fantastic. Eric Slabby, Slabby? Oh no, Slabby. I'm not sure how I'm saying that. But he said, both are awesome and I would love them both to be canon, but if I had to choose one, it would be Mara Jade. Her character was so exciting to read and follow her transition from being the Emperor's Hand to becoming a Jedi Master and marrying the man that the Emperor told her to kill. And Davey Proko says, man, this is like, who do you pull from a burning car? My mum or my wife? Thrawn is an amazing villain and makes his trilogy a very worthy follow-up to the trilogy. But Mara has been expanded so much more and brought out so much in Luke by getting to see their relationship. I'm gonna have to go with Mara. She becomes an amazing, badass female Jedi, and she was kind of a crush growing up. Cute.
I agree with that. I kind of had a crush on the fictional character of Mara Jade.
It's so awkward when you've got a crush on a fictional character. Right. I watched another Disney movie recently, and I'm like, damn it.
Yeah.
This is so uncomfortable for me.
This is like me during every episode of Game of Thrones. I would totally date Cersei. I would totally date the red woman. But it's a bit of a problem.
But they're actual people. When it's like an animation or a drawing, true, and you're like, hubbard a hole. Yeah. That's
yeah, Roger Rabbit changed my life. Joey, so I know you didn't know this character. Are you familiar at all with Jade and Thrawn?
Have you read? No, I am not.
Hey, you know the Death Watch leader's name, so you got points, buddy. Yeah, Mara Jade started out of the Emperor's Hand, ends up marrying Luke, who was always kind of not interested in love, it seems. So it was kind of good to see Luke. I can accept you winning this debate.
Yay.
Mara Jade's a great character. It is tough. Some people did answer the third great character that Timothy Zahn created, which was the smuggler, kind of head of the smugglers union, Talon Card,
yeah,
who was a great character as well in those books. So
cool.
Good stuff. This week, though,
woohoo! Let's turn things up.
Here is our debate for this week. It is. Oh, you want me to read it?
Yes, please.
Okay. on the Duel of Fates, where would you hide out if you had to go into hiding? For whatever reason, whatever you've done, would you hide out in Obi-Wan's Adobe, which sounds like a Mexican restaurant, on Tatooine, or Yoda's hut on Dagobah? So, those are your choices. If you had to hide out, Obi-Wan's Adobe and Yoda's hut. Obi-Wan's Adobe, you get free chips and salsa with your weight.
Yum. Take me to Tatooine over Dagobah any day.
Okay.
The swamp is scary when he crashes the X-Wing into the swamp and that thing comes out. It's like in the trash compactor. You never know what it is, but you know it's a lot bigger. And the more that you can't see is freakier for me. So that thing that kind of, you know, spat out R2. Like,
right.
I don't even want to know about that. I actually grew up in tropical weather in Queensland, so I love that muggy, really... I keep wanting to say moist, and I don't want to say the word, so that's why I just said it. What's the muggy...
Humid?
Thank you.
Humid.
Yeah.
Really struggling with basic words today.
That's okay.
But I'm going to say Tatooine here because I just think that the place Tatooine is so much bigger. Like, you know, if you want to just duck off and look at the speed races that are happening there.
Right.
You can do that. There's a Mos Eisley Cantina if you want to get your arm chopped off because he doesn't like you either.
Which is what Joey wants.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, your only real threats there are the Sand People and Jawas. But even Jawas are really, you know, they're selling you droids, which is pretty cool. It's the Tusken Raiders that you've got to avoid. So I'm going to go
Obi-Wan's Adobe.
Yes.
Joey?
Very interesting. I kind of look at Dagobah as downtown Los Angeles, where they have too many one-way streets, and I can't find my way back on the freeway at some point when I was at the Staples Center. So I'm going to nix Yoda's place, because he's also kind of a slob, and you know, I don't want to mix in with that kind of stuff. You know, I don't want to be.
There's no one else there on Dagobah either, really. It just seems
it's
like
kind
it's
of lonely.
Him.
I mean, it seems like everybody's there, like it's doing their own thing. Maybe they're in some sort of witness protection program, which obviously he was.
Right.
So
yeah,
I would go. I'm going to go with Ben Kenobi's place, which is kind of like being out in Temecula. You know, there's a racetrack out there, so they got stuff going on.
Can I confess something? I called it Temecula the first time I went there.
Temecula?
Such
that's
a foreigner.
Exactly. Like, you're from
it's not the wrong being phonetic.
I'll go to Australia and probably be like, where's Perth? Perth? You mean Perth? Yeah.
Put the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Yeah,
that's
fine.
But I agree. There's things to do. Cool bars to hang out at. I agree. You know, you got to watch out for the Sand People. So out of Temecula is probably the same as the meth dealers.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I never thought of Tatooine as the Inland Empire. I know it's more Modesto for Lucas's childhood, but it's really the Inland Empire out here in Southern California.
Yeah.
Outstanding. Okay, so we're going Obi-Wan's Adobe. I'm going to have to play the opposite then, and I can easily get into it. I could have chose Tatooine as well with you guys for the same reasons.
Yeah.
There's a life there.
Yeah.
Even though you're in hiding, you got things to do. People knew Ben. He was that old crazy wizard who came by and probably told some weird stories down at the bar.
But the pod races as well.
That's outstanding. Ben Quadrenaros!
Oh, my God.
But I'm going to go with Yoda's hut here because I personally enjoy my solitude. I spent a lot of time alone this weekend. I didn't see many souls. It just was me in my bed watching documentaries. I can imagine doing that on Dagobah. Maybe if you run into someone again, it's just one of those, evening, sir. You just keep passing because you're both in hiding. And then you get a cool cave. You can go hang out and have evil visions if you just want to kind of go hang out. I don't like reptiles. I'm like you. Unless it's a pool, I don't go into a body of water unless I can see the bottom.
Yeah.
But, you know, if I just avoid that swamp, I'm happy there for a long, long time.
I can do it. It's a good nature retreat.
Yeah.
Mm.
I like the rain. That when he's all huddled up and he's serving Luke that horrible porridge and it's raining and R2's... I love that scene. I love that stuff. One of the scenes that was cut from Revenge of the Sith that producer Rick McCallum regretted they had to cut was Yoda landing on Dagobah for the first time and knowing that this was going to be his home and just kind of...
Oh, what a shame that we didn't get that.
Yeah. I would have loved to have seen that in the movie. I think it was released at some point in one of the editions, and it wasn't as great as described, but it was a great moment.
You just said that Yoda, when he landed, went, this is where I've got to be.
Exactly.
You just, like, rebutted your own argument.
But I'm still sticking with it.
Okay, cool.
But he's still sticking with it.
He still landed in that look of sheer disappointment. It's like, I used to be the Jedi Master.
Yeah.
And now I'm in this dump.
It's kind of like when you pull off in the Empire on the way to Vegas. You're like, let's go to this truck stop.
But there's a Chili's.
Yeah, there's a chain restaurant. So that's what we're coming down with. Two for Obi-Wan's Adobe. Now with more enchiladas. And me going with Yoda's Hut, the Solitude on Dagobah. We're going to put it to you out there on Twitter at Jedi Alliance SK and on our Facebook page, the Jedi Alliance on the Schmoes No Network, where you can register your votes.
Yeah. And I'll tally those ones and we can read out your comments next week, which is pretty cool. Nice social interaction happening there.
It is hand down a cool thing. Get it? I did it.
Star Wars.
I learned it. Ah!
That's a sign.
I'll never join you.
Okay, here we go.
It's your card.
I got 46, 41. Okay.
You ready? In 5 seconds, we'll go. Alrighty. Who was Luke talking to when he said, "Then my father is truly dead"?
He was talking to Darth Vader, his father.
Yes. Ding. Who fired off a single blaster bolt while falling into the Rancor pit?
Read it again. Oh.
Who fired off a single blaster bolt while falling into the Rancor pit?
Weequay?
What? Obviously not the answer. Weequay?
Yeah.
No, it's Luke Skywalker.
Oh, sorry. Yep, you're right.
There we go.
For some reason, was thinking of a different pit.
Cool. What did Han see instead of a big dark blur during his voyage on Jabba's skiff?
He started to see big orange blurs. He's talking to Luke on the skiff.
Yeah, so he was only able to see big dark blurs, but now he can see.
You know, I was born here, you know.
Yes.
You're going to die here, you know. I'm going to say big orange blurs.
Big light blur. Went from a dark blur to a light blur.
Okay, I'm slumping today.
That's all right, you'll get this one.
Okay.
Who are not allowed inside the Mos Eisley Cantina?
Oh, yeah. Well, that one's C-3PO and?
R2.
Yeah. Who could you get to shut up with a quick flip of the on-off switch on the back of his neck?
Joey's wife, if you will.
That'd
be C-3PO.
Absolutely. And who directed Star Wars A New Hope?
Well, that'd be George Lucas.
You are right.
Faster, more intense.
So you got 4 out of 6, which is not bad.
4 out of 6.
Bringing your total to 15.
50 to 41.
50.
Oof.
Joey, oh, yeah,
thanks for your support on that one there. And please tell.
I feel like I'm adding such value to this.
And to your wife, Meredith, I apologize. The Ewoks have come and taken down our ATSD here. Wow. Little,
gave me a fright.
Yeah, that did. Oh, this thing.
I was drunk. I love it when the logs go down. It's like.
this thing, happening? I don't think this thing's going to survive. I had to get Mike Black, our toy expert, in here to set this up for me.
Oh.
Wow, the Ewoks came on in.
Drunk.
That is a drunk walker.
Yeah, I love that button. Cool. Next segment. It is all about forcing a topic on you. It's called Forced On. And this time around, Joey, you have a topic that you want to force on every one of us. And it just so happens that it is the Force.
Yes.
You're forcing the Force.
I take things quite literally.
Yes. Yeah, this is great because we were going to maybe talk about the Clone Wars, and obviously it's fresh in your mind, and you were like, wait, I got something better. So here's what we got.
And it was just one of those random things. I mean, because while watching the Clone Wars, there were just so many instances when the Jedi were in a battle and they were just able to either grab people who they were trying to catch and either choke them out or just hang on to them for a second or, you know, throw them up Christ style on a wall. Mm. And then next thing you know, they're in the same fight with the person and the guy's running away. And instead of grabbing them again,
they're like, they're just getting away.
Oh, yeah. It's like, why? Curse you.
So, a very good example of this also out there, too, is in The Phantom Menace, when the opening scene after Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon have had their little tea and the droidicas show up and they sprint off in Jedi speed. Fing!
Right.
Flash forward to the end of the movie, you got Obi-Wan trying to catch up with Qui-Gon and Darth Maul. He has a little distance to run. He runs normally. He jogs, quite frankly, and gets caught in things. All right, the ATSD is down.
That is not jogging at all.
He is down today. The ATSD is dead.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
It's okay. Good. Our studio is haunted.
So you went over that tripwire again.
Yeah, exactly.
When will you learn?
He's down.
So
that's an example there, too. So at the end of the movie, Obi-Wan doesn't use his force sprint.
He could have jumped. He could have made that jump.
Yeah. I'm seeing jumps. They're jumping like four stories high. And then there's a few instances where it's like, just jump over the giant wreck.
So the question that really proposed, this is kind of an open forum discussion for us here on set. And then, of course, eventually you on social media, Twitter, at Jedi Alliance SK and the Facebook page, is to kind of solve this for ourselves. Now, I put the question out earlier. I'm going to dig up some of the answers. Joey, you keep going with some of your theories.
So I'm thinking that, first of all, are there limitations to the Force? Like, I know everybody has their own understanding and or level of the Force that they have. But is there a certain point when you just can't use it anymore because you've obviously gotten too tired? Because I know it is draining. And so then maybe you have to recharge. But it seems like
you do in the video games.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and I know that some people can just walk into a room and just, you know, lift up their pinky finger and choke like three people out at one time. And then they're dust.
So, I guess it has to be like a level. Is it the midichlorians? Someone gets really annoyed at me at how I say that. How do you say it properly?
Master Mods, ma'am, what are midichlorians?
Yeah, okay, I'm saying it right.
No, you said it right.
Okay, cool. Phew. I was breaking out of sweat. Is it the more that you have, the more force you're able to
How attuned you are maybe to the force or just the midichlorians itself?
Well, no, I think that could be maybe a part of it. Like, you know, that's how you have more power because the more force is attached to you,
right?
Apparently. What I think is fascinating, though, with the force and how you learn to use it is that you have to go to Jedi school as a kid. Remember how Anakin was too old, pretty much.
Luke was way too old.
Luke was way too old. And like when you in the Old Republic, Knights of the Old Republic, the video game, same sort of thing. Like you have off the charts of the midichlorians and like you pass all the tests. And like straight out, some of the people in the Jedi Council are like, there's absolutely no way we can accept you into becoming a Jedi because you are just too old. Mm. So is age a factor? Do you have to jump on this early?
It seems like that does play a huge part of it. But did not all people did go into the Jedi Academy? I mean,
A big chunk of time, it wasn't even there.
Right.
Right.
Even in the Clone Wars, I'm blanking on her name now, but she was Count Dooku's apprentice.
Asajj Ventress.
Thank you. Another great character.
Yeah, she sounds like her.
Exactly.
She's like the Angelina Jolie of Clone Wars.
Yeah.
So, but she did not, she wasn't in Jedi school, was she?
I believe you're correct. She may, I don't know, maybe she took some night classes or something and Dooku pulled her out.
In the extension program.
Like, hey, come here. I got a class for you. You don't need no training here.
I mean, it was the same with Savage Opress.
Yeah.
So, which, by the way, they call it Savage instead of Savage. I think Savage maybe was like making him a little bit softer because he was kind of a burly guy anyways. But different podcast.
There's some theories out there already. Dan Hovey says, hear me out. The Force is too two-sided. The Force itself is a thing that has a will, and Jedi train to manipulate it. I don't believe they can always do whatever they want. I think the Force also allows the movement. Remember, the Force flows through Luke when training aboard the Millennium Falcon. He didn't really block the laser. The Force used him as a conduit to block it. So maybe if you're not in tune at that moment, or the Force is like, nah, I'm not going to give you leap powers. Do it yourself, kid.
Yeah, okay.
That's a great explanation for that. I like that a lot.
I don't mind that at all.
And also, my other question, too, is when they say that there's a disturbance in the Force. Now, there's a disturbance for that Jedi, but if a Sith was in the same area, does he have a disturbance, too, for what's going
on? Or is he creating the disturbance?
Yeah.
So it's like his advantage, or hers advantage, which is becoming a disadvantage for the light side.
Yeah, I imagine the Sith kind of pick up on things, too, but you're right. They're usually the ones causing the problem.
Yeah.
They're usually the bad guys, bad girls causing
the problem. But they're also causing the disturbance. They're picking up on the disturbance because the Jedi's around, too.
Yeah. Like the little things going off. Yeah. Oh, there's some goody two-shoe boys around
here.
Everyone, grab your dark sabers. Let's go. Zachary Bell says, I think it might be similar to how Force users were trained against mental attacks in the Darth Bane series, which I'm still about to dig into, Zachary, so you're ahead of me on that. Besides the physical confrontation we see on screen, opponents might be attempting some sort of Sith sorcery to control their victim. You let that mind protection bubble drop to focus on speed, and you turn into a really fast ragdoll for the other guy. I kind of like that theory. I get it. So, yeah, when the droids are up shooting, and I got their shields, Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon can use that power because it's just some mindless droids.
Yep.
Against Darth Maul, Obi-Wan's got to save his juice, so to speak.
Right.
Okay. Matt Strasbar, I think that's his name. I'm sorry again with how to pronounce it. He says, I think there is a limit to how much one can use the Force. We know that using the Force takes a degree of focus and willpower, and some abilities require more focus and willpower than others. Using the Force too much can stretch a Jedi to their limits and lead to physical exhaustion. For example, when Luke tried to lift the X-Wing, so using powers like Force Speed or Lightning all the time isn't practical.
Again, it's almost like a video game, too. We're playing Force Unleashed here. You got to get those powers up.
Yeah. They need to refill their tank.
Yeah.
But then, which leads me to believe why I would be a Sith, because it seems like Sith
have more restores.
Yes.
Yeah.
It seems like they're in better shape for the Force, and they're able to...
Is that because they've tapped into the full power of the dark side?
I would say...
Jedi's kind of skim the surface, don't they, really?
Yeah. It's kind of like me in my dating life. I generally don't get good dates because I'm just too nice of a guy. It's the jerks who are rolling around, right? Is that it? No, is that it? I'm asking.
No, women like nice guys.
That's not...
You're nice men.
I know. Maybe what you're saying is if you're dark, the barriers are down and you're going to use things more. I mean, Vader was pretty liberal in how he used his extra powers.
Maybe it is the morals thing because the Jedi don't want to kill people. So maybe if it's like they're running away, my only option is to knock them against the wall.
Right.
But that could kill them. The lesser evil is just to let them go and I'll try again another time.
It's like a Superman thing.
But if you're a Sith, you're just like... crushed skull, dead,
right,
and you feel nothing.
But then, too, I think of a Force power that is not used enough that Vader used in Empire, which is to block blaster shots. Why isn't everybody pulling that out? Because you're always getting shot at. You don't need to whip out the lightsaber every time, although I like it. But I think you should be able to like block a couple shots now and again.
That's a great point. Yeah. Eric Olson says, here's what I don't get. You're in a lightsaber battle. We always see combatants blocking strikes. Why has no one ever swung at the opponent, turned off their lightsaber mid-swing, turned it on after they pass the defense, and struck them down, it seems. Like the perfect attack.
Ready?
I like that.
So
one.
I'll do what Eric says. Okay, that doesn't really work when you don't have any lightsabers on you.
Next time we'll get lightsabers. Next time we'll have to be like the MLB network. We'll have to go to like a baseball field thing. We'll have to demonstrate. We'll have to get some lightsabers out.
Yes,
we'll go to the Telestrator.
There was one more point, which is a little bit off topic, but I think it was a good one that you wanted to raise, which is about the last name switch. Did you want to?
This is great. This is why I love this show, and I love you guys out there as our fan base here. Maude and I read everything you guys write, even if we don't always reply or like to it right away or get to it at all. We actually have read everything you've written, and so this one popped up out of this question, and Joey, you can help us through this theory here. Chris Whitehead asks, how about why did Leia take Bail Organa's name when he adopted her, but Luke kept his name of Skywalker rather than taking Owen's last name of Lars? If the Jedi wanted to hide him, then surely having Luke change his name would be the first thing you do, presumably like with his sister. So, other than maybe Lucas...
He could have been Luke Lars.
Yeah, Luke Lars. Having some fun with this, which I like to do with these debates. These are the debates you had on the schoolyard as kids growing up.
Well, why did Luke have his name Skywalker?
Right.
Any theories on that one, Joey?
Yeah. First of all, just having the name Luke Lars just suggests that you're the lead singer in a band that's doing open mics at that bar in Tatooine.
Yeah.
So that's probably one reason.
I'm Luke Lars.
He's like, I don't want to. His hair was already long enough. He's
good
like,
evening, Tatooine!
Buddy, you're running the light. Let's go.
Makes sense, though. I mean, the fact that he has been Luke Skywalker the whole time, it begs the question, who is my father? Who is the Skywalker? Where am I coming from? And then they're like, don't talk about that.
Yeah.
It's like, well, then take that name out of the equation.
There was an article on IO9, which is a great website. It's sci-fi, but with a little bit of science mixed in. And IO9 had a great article a couple years ago about the kind of the lack of reading ability in the Star Wars universe. How we are joined in A New Hope, and they're talking about the a more civilized time for a better age and the Clone Wars, and your father was a great fighter. It was like 18 years ago.
Right. Back in the day.
So you're telling me they got all these, you go to Coruscant, you get all these news stories popping up, and you got a ticker like at Times Square. But you're telling me no one could, Luke couldn't at Tatooine Elementary School look up a history book of who are some, why are we here now?
Right.
Anakin Skywalker.
Wait a second.
Dad?
Yeah.
It's true. There had to have been some question on a history test.
He was too busy
saying, what was the name of this war that happened?
Right, exactly. Here? Only 18 years ago. And at the time of, like, fifth grade, it would have been, like, 9 years ago.
Well, I mean, if he was doing that, he wouldn't be able to tend to the Womp Rats, would he?
Right. He was too busy bullseyeing Womp Rats back with his friend Biggs. Yeah, it's a funny thing. Look, if you poke holes all day in the Star Wars universe, but that's part of the fun, is when you dive into it, you can ask yourself these questions. Why does Luke leap at one point and not the other, and why does Princess Leia and Luke have no idea of their history?
Right.
And one of them has the name of the man who kind of killed all the Jedi. There's stuff. I mean, look, at the end, you know, Yoda and Obi-Wan have there's no real mention of Yoda from Vader. Talks about, Obi-Wan was training you. Obi-Wan's failure is complete.
Yeah.
So at the end of Jedi, when they die, whether it's Anakin, whether it's Hayden Christensen or Sebastian Shaw, when he appears as a Force ghost and he's standing next to Obi-Wan and Obi-Wan's little pet.
Yeah.
Like, who's that guy?
Yeah.
Because I've never talked about him the whole movie series, but now he's there. So there's little holes like that.
Yeah, I've never even picked up on that.
But it's fun to debate. So Chris Whitehead, thanks for starting that debate. I don't know why, other than Lucas probably wasn't thinking about it, but it is a great, great point.
Why is English the universal language in that galaxy?
It's basic, but it's spelled totally different. But yeah.
In my defense, I think Farscape did the best job ever with the whole galaxy communication. You get an injection, and you're able to understand every language.
In Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, you put the babblefish in your ear, and you can... Everything yeah. is
right.
translated.
Except the Hutts. You still can't understand the Hutts.
This guy won't fall over. Joey, did you feel you have your question answered? Or at least somewhat understanding?
I feel
now.
That we got many great answers out of this. I do have a better understanding of the Force and how I might be able to continue to manipulate it.
And Jedi learned three basic techniques of the Force. Control, sense, alter. So that's what you got to master to become a Jedi. Because someone today, before the show, researched the Force on the Jedi, the Star Wars Encyclopedia.
Control, sense, and alter. That's really cool.
That's what it breaks down into
there. I bet you that's like in the classroom, that's what's up on the whiteboard.
Yeah, so. Always. Underlined over and over again.
We've gone over this time and time again.
Yeah.
And I, for one, would like to see a canon web series of Little Luke at Tatooine Elementary School.
No.
If someone out there.
I think that's another one that we can start writing.
We'll start writing it right now. Well, this has been a very fun edition of Jedi Alliance, episode 12.
Mm-hmm. It's been fantastic.
This is great.
Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review if you are listening to this on iTunes. We have had a few hiccups with our iTunes account, so we do appreciate you reviewing and rating because we have no idea what the hell's happening.
Yeah, it's out of our hands. I know a lot of you tweet and ask us questions. The iTunes thing is being worked on. Again, out of our hands. Just stick with it. Find us on YouTube. Find us on iTunes. We're going to try to get on to other platforms as well, like Stitcher and all that.
Talk about a disturbance.
With disturbance of the horse.
Yeah, I find it's like a faith disturbing as well. But But definitely YouTube, jump on that one. Comment. I love reading the comments for every episode as well. The good forum for discussions happening there. Yeah. And make sure you subscribe to that YouTube account also and like the video if you thought it was pretty cool. Yep. You can also check out all the other shows from the Schmoes No Network there as well. Profiles with Alicia Malone and Scott Mance. We've got so many others. Oh, my gosh.
Guilty Movie Pleasures. Box Office Breakdown with our very own engineer, JTE, Sarah Stratton and Finstock. And the main show, of course, every Thursday, 6 p.m. PST. It's live on SchmoesNo.com. Before we close with an in memory, Joey, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you. This was great.
I learned so much about you. Let's join the Death Watch together.
It's a good team.
Where can they follow you?
Where can
you? Oh, Joey. Where can they find you on Twitter?
On Twitter, you can find me at Joey the Rock.
And of course, the Bitter Bistro website, blog, podcast, the whole universe you got there. Fighting the good fight for the servers.
I do. I guess I'm the Sith of the service industry world. Ooh. So, yeah, I just blog about what happens while working in a restaurant. And even if you don't or know about working in a restaurant, you will when you read my blog. And
you also produce a weekly or monthly comedy show now, right?
Yes, the monthly comedy show. It's actually inside a video store at Cinephile Video, which is in West LA on Sawtelle and Santa Monica Boulevard, right by the New Art Theater. And once a month, the last Tuesday of the month, this Tuesday, we will have from American Ninja Warrior, Matt Iceman, old buddy of mine. So it's going to be a fun show.
Yeah. If you're in town local, look it up. Joey is a great host and comic, and I'm so glad to have you on the show.
Thank you.
So as we do every week before we close, we pay a little tribute to a fallen character or hero or villain from the Star Wars universe. And this week, though the prequels are much maligned, one of the undeniable joys the movies brought longtime fans was seeing more Jedi, all kinds of Jedi from different planets, alien races, different shapes, different sizes. The prequels showed us the ranks of the Jedi Order we had only previously heard about growing up if you were a child of the 80s. One of those introduced was a fierce-looking Jedi Master from the planet Dorne, Plo Koon. Master Plo Koon was a lifetime member of the High Jedi Council and close friends to Masters Qui-Gon Jinn and Ki-Adi Mundi. He was a mentor to many Jedi, including the midriff-bearing Raver Jedi Aayla Secura, and was the Jedi responsible for identifying the force-sensitive nature of Ahsoka Tano, starting her path to becoming a Jedi. He also cooked some great chili, which is a favorite at Jedi Council work picnics, so that may not be canon. Yes, Plo Koon was a Jedi to be reckoned with, but before we got to know him, he was taken from us thanks to Order 66, the Emperor's secret executive order that began the Great Jedi Purge. While flying in a starfighter in a battle over Cato Nemodia, the Jedi Master's clone troopers turned on him, blasting his Jedi starfighter out of the air and ending the revered Jedi's life in a fiery crash. We'd later learn more about Plo Koon during the Clone Wars series, but we never really got to see him in action on the big screen. May the Force be with you, Jedi Master Plo Koon.
What a legend. And thank you so much for watching Jedi Alliance. We'll be back next week. But for now, many Bothans died to bring us this information.
For producers Christian Harloff, Mark Ellis, and the entire Schmoes No Network crew, we would like to thank you for listening to the Jedi Alliance on the Schmoes No Network. Special thanks to Kevin Undergaro and Maria Menounos, the author of Every Girl's Guide to Diet and Fitness in Stores Now. To watch or listen to other Schmoes No Network episodes, get movie news, and join the conversation, be sure to visit SchmoesNo.com and find the Jedi Alliance on iTunes and subscribe, rate, and review. I'm the Pit Boss, and this has been a presentation of Schmoes No Network.